companies have done to my people. They have given them too little rehabilitation and institutionalized them. So I beg of you, please. I think the operative word for the whole afternoon was what Deborah Doctor said. You're experimenting on people. You must have redundancies in place. You cannot hurt people's health with impunity. Also, the ability of a disabled person to see their specialist. There are pulmonary quads who have had their Rancho Los Amigos polio doctors for 40 years. I am a breast cancer survivor for 17 years of 2 bouts of breast cancer. My doctor knows the pathology of my tumor. He decided whether we take off one breast or two. I'm being followed every 3 months. If I get a bad test, I want him. But there isn't an exemption to go to the doctors who you have a long-term relationship with. It's only for 1 year. So, you know, you've got to realize the healthcare industry is booming right now. The baby boomers getting older is creating an environment where people want to create an industry. And the consumer, I contend to you, will be overwhelmed. I ask you to please look at the consumer protections that we put in the IHSS Consumer Union, to also talk about if there were any lags in your medical care or your attendant care, that these be seamless until something's worked out. But I still think this is reckless in light of the 1115 waiver, and I beg you to find some way. Talk about perverse incentives. Look at Tulare County. Why not get the counties a way to claw back the savings of IHSS? Why not, instead of hurting people, why not claw back the money within the system? Why not work that way? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
I just have a comment. I know there's many in this room and some of my colleagues up here on the dais that support a single-payer health plan. Where do you go after that plan? You're asking for flexibility in healthcare, and I agree with you.
We must see our doctors, our specialists. We must have an exemption that doesn't just last a year.
Thank you. Okay, we have time for public comments, and I know people have been very patient, so please join us up here and state your name.
See you tomorrow morning.
Right. Thank you. That's right. Thank you very much, folks. Hi.
Hi, my name is Mark Beckwith. I'm on the Alameda County Public Authority Advisory Board, member of Northern California ADAPT. And my mind's kind of numb. There's been a lot of stuff said here today, and a couple of things stuck in my mind that kind of struck me, that a lot of people really, they don't really get what independent living is all about. You're less about medical this and medical that, but I think that the independent living centers and other organizations, public authorities, are going to be really valuable. I mean, I don't understand trying to put IHSS under managed care, but you need people with more of an independent living aspect. I know that I heard some talk about standardized training, and really the reason that makes my attendants uniquely able to take care of me is because of specialized training that they got from me. And sometimes if I'm going to the doctor and they're with the doctor can show them something, that a nurse, that they might have to do. But generally, I can't see as we're standardized training. There is no standard. I mean, it's like one size fits no one. There are seniors that are going to really benefit by the managed care and the case managers and all this guidance and stuff. But those of us who've been there and done that are rolling our eyes and like, oh, God, they're gonna care management team. You know, I know what I need. Just listen and write it down, and it'll be all set. And so spending money managing me is kind of a waste of money because of this. If somebody else I have to buck to get my way, because I'm kind of independent at this point, maybe overly so. But I just wanted to say I wish there was a way to recognize the specialized training that my attendants do have. Because I'll be in the hospital, and I'll hear people make comments about attendants as untrained. And I'm thinking, like, wait a minute, these nurses haven't got a clue what to do, and the one person that knows how to take care of me is the one they're calling untrained. So I think if any recognition is going to be given for training as far as being worth a higher salary, I think it should be the people who know how to take care of me. I mean, there are thousands or hundreds of thousands of nurses and nursing assistants, but there's only like a dozen people that know how to take care of me. And when I'm really sick, I can't really explain. I mean, sometimes I'm kind of out of it and not really able to explain things in detail. But there's certain little things that a nurse isn't going to know. I don't care what kind of training, how good it was. For instance, if my head is turned a certain way, it cuts off my breathing. I can't say anything. I make a little sound, like, and my attendants know what that means. But if I'm in the hospital and you do that, the nurse going to know what I'm doing. They'll just keep cutting my air off. So, you know, it's really scary having to deal with people that are untrained. But it's really scary when people don't recognize who the trained ones are. And I think that, I know there's a lot of paranoia going on in the disabled community right now. And we hear things like, oh, don't worry, RHSS and the county social workers will be there for another 3 years. It's like, well, what if we live longer than 3 years? I'm kind of hoping to. I don't know if I will. I'm kind of past my expiration date. Anyway, but I'm not planning on going anywhere soon. And I'm just hoping that people will recognize who the real experts are in independent living, and it's not doctors and nurses. That's right.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Karen Kiesler, California Association of Public Authorities. I'll be very brief. There are reasons that there are differences between public authorities on training standards and registries and wages and so forth. And you've heard through the afternoon that one size fits all. We really applaud the trailer bill language from the administration that preserves for some period of time the public authority role at the local level while we figure out the right way to integrate services. The last thing I want to say is to quote a parent that testified yesterday in Senate Budget Subcommittee number 3 on DD, where she was talking about big system changes there, and her question was, if you don't have time, if you don't get it right, will you have time to do it over?
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I know it's late.
We're still here.
My name is Jim. I'm on the Alameda Public Authority Advisory Board. I'm scared. I've been here for about 3 hours. Why here is the button. I attended the managed care. I worked for almost 10 years full time. Part of my job was getting people out of institutions. I'm on the board of Caritas, very proud of being involved in the Crawford case. People have worked so long getting people out of institutions. Don't let this happen. Don't let it happen. Please don't.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to testify? Yes.
I just have one question. I'm sorry, my name is Adam. I'm an attendant, a provider with IHSS. And one thing I don't hear being brought up is, how do you take something that's like minimalized financially, put in a middleman and expect to save money. I just don't get that. I've heard no one talk about it from SEIU or any of the unions or from the hospital side or anything, that you add someone that's getting paid nicely, he wants to send his children to college, and you expect to save money. I just don't get it.
Appreciate that. Right. Thank you. Pointing up the yeah, right. Anyone else? Well, I thank you all for persevering the afternoon, and it was a very interesting comment. Thank you for your participation. I hope it's not raining too hard out there.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Meeting adjourned.